The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Anyone involved in planning a wedding, we want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christine Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. We're happy you're here. We're happy to be in your ear.
Oh.
I feel like we're mostly in people's ears, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like buds. It's like a bud situation.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a good little rhyme. We're happy you're here and we're happy to be in your ear. We're happy to be here.
We'll make things more clear.
You're a poet and you didn't even know it.
We hold you so dear.
Oh my gosh. Here she goes. She's going to keep going.
Keep going. Hand me a beer.
Oh! That's
good. I'm going to open a beer after. No, I'm not. It's not a beer. It's a canned like seltzer. After this.
Oh, well, I think a beer sounds great, but I just came off my mom visiting for almost a week and we drank every single day. And you know, my mom loves champagne.
And that's what my mom loves.
Does she? My mom loves, well, it's, I guess technically it's sparkling wine. It's Chandon.
Mm-hmm. Brut.
Brut. Yep.
Yeah.
Is that what your mom drinks?
Well, my mom only drinks like extra dry Bruts, but Chandon is definitely on her list of like bottles you can get at Costco for less than $25 that are still really great.
Yes. And so I surprised her while she was here and I set up and reserved a tasting at Chandon here in Napa Valley, which was awesome. I highly recommend it. It's chill. It's
so
you know,
fun.
It's not like an over the top kind of, you know, those wineries that you go to and you're like, oh, I feel so.
Yeah. They have more of like a picnic vibe.
Yeah. But it's very pretty. And it's the architecture of the building. Architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Architecture.
You combined them.
Architecture. Officiant. Efficient. Whatever.
Mm.
Potato, whatever.
Again.
Anyway, it was good. I highly recommend it. And then we went and ate an early dinner, which we call Linner, at the Restoration Hardware restaurant. Okay.
Whoa.
And it's like, you know, you walk into this place and you're like, dude, this is like, I wish I lived here. Like, it's amazing.
Put them on your list.
Put it on the list. Do that. So this episode, I just finished listening to the rough draft that Veronica sent over because Christy and I had to record this intro like way late. And it's a great episode. It's really, I just love Carly. And I know that all of you listening, especially if you are in the spot where you're planning your own weddings and you're like Carly, like you're going to get a lot out of this.
So real listener, real wedding retrospective. And if you've wondered how we've done 260, is that what this is? 260?
I don't know.
Episodes of this show, it's largely in part because we are a combination of speaking to real couples or a real bride or real groom, somebody that is like in the thick of it or just after their wedding, and then also professionals. So it's really refreshing and wonderful for us when the real bride in this case that we're talking to was a listener and she communicated with us throughout the process. She asked questions. We answered them. I think we featured her on more than one Yawa.
Yeah.
She took our master class, which was huge, and then communicated with us through that.
Yeah.
So it sort of feels like we've been there in a way for many steps of the way. But it's important to note that Carly and her wedding planning journey, as far as we're concerned, was largely like on the tail end.
Yeah.
And so this episode has a lot of what somebody is thinking about when planning their own wedding, like you mentioned, but also specifically, let's say like the last third or quarter of planning, mm-hmm. when things start to get really
intense,
because you have the main components lined up, but it's now all about the details within, and a lot of family dynamics.
Yes.
Generally come to the surface at the end, maybe even ones that you dealt with at the beginning, like a year out, we're engaged, woo, whatever. And then things kind of rest. You're in like planning mode. At the end, some bigger decisions can come back up concerning family and how you're going to deal with them. It's not something you can put off anymore. It's like, oh, we actually have to make this decision and communicate it because the wedding is in 2 months.
Yeah, and it just, Carly wrote us this really long email one day and told us, you know, she's married and she graduated from the master class and proceeded to just go paragraph by paragraph, everything she did for the wedding, everything she implemented into her wedding based on specific episodes of the Big Wedding Planning podcast that she listened to and found helpful. And after we read it, we're like, oh, this is like, we need to do a whole episode on this because it's just, there's so many tips here for you listening. Some very subtle and some that I'm like, oh, that was such a freaking genius idea, Carly. I just loved everything about her wedding. Josh is a hopeless romantic, her husband. I was like, oh, like every time she told me stuff. So also a note with regard to Carly's audio on this episode. In her own words, Carly lives, quote, in the sticks. Okay. She lives out on a farm in the middle of nowhere, and she has really bad internet connection. So we tried the Zoom thing and it was absolutely horrible. So instead, she called into Zoom and the entire interview we did with her on her cell phone. So it's not bad audio. It's just like you can tell she's on a phone, which is fine. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it worked. It was great.
She is on a phone.
She is. That's right.
On a phone.
She's
yeah.
literally
we're lucky on the phone. It worked at all.
Yeah. So I think that about wraps it up. You're going to love this. We love this. We love Carly. Carly is awesome. It's a big old friggin' Carly loves fest, Christy and Michelle.
Yes, and I know she's listening. So thank you again for sending that email and for letting us interview you.
All right, let's get into our interview with Carly.
Hi, my name is Carly Dickey, and I am the May 2021 graduate of the Big Wedding Masterclass.
Yes, you are the first graduate of the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass. In fact, congratulations. I feel like maybe we should have sent you a diploma or something.
A cap and gown.
Yeah.
Yes.
We should have. That's actually not a bad idea. Congratulations, first of all, on your marriage.
Yeah, thank you. A month now in, it's like, oh man.
The honeymoon is over.
Yes. Life has set in.
This episode is about Carly and your husband, Josh.
Yeah.
And so we just love the email that you sent to us and all of the things that you implemented into the wedding. Why don't you tell us, you know, when you got engaged, what the original plan was, because you are a COVID couple. You had a pandemic experience with wedding planning.
Yeah. So I got engaged in February of 2020. At the end of the month, we were celebrating our 6 months, and I was able to fully jump in because a couple weeks before I had found the Big Wedding Planning podcast, and within a week I had secured my wedding venue, and everyone was like, wow, is this girl serious? Like,
that was fast.
Mm-hmm. But it was like, I knew what I was looking for because we had had conversations before of, we really want a barn. I really want light and bright. And where we live is like, and narrowed it down really to one. And we went and visited that next week. And then later that day, signed the contract and had our venue. So people were like, wow, Carly, like, have you like just have your whole wedding planned out? I'm like, well, like, I just know like what I want as far as a venue. And that was like by listening to all of your episodes and just knowing like the questions that I wanted to ask. But then also just like the looks, like Josh and I just had like a really concise idea of like what we wanted, and living where we do, it's like that really just narrowed it down to one.
That's great. You listen, there's nothing wrong with knowing what you want. I think it's always hard when people are like, I don't know. Like, we were talking to a listener yesterday and she is getting married, which sounds like a dream to me, at a venue that's like, she's renting the entire property. And she's like, I almost feel stressed out because there's too much flexibility for me here. Like, I'm not having to be like stuck in a box where I have like all the decisions like are based off of the rules, right? And I feel when you have a clear idea and thought and concept, how lovely, how wonderful.
Yeah, and the venue dictates a lot of other decisions, and making that decision first and kind of quickly might have seemed like, whoa, you're really on top of it. You've probably been thinking about your wedding your whole life. Like, you just jumped right in. But it was like, that's something you know, and you booked it. And then after that, it was like, oh, there's so much more. There's a ton of other stuff and other details. But getting that thing out of the way probably felt very productive, as it should. It's a big financial commitment. It comes with a date. It might have, you know, certain rules or preferred vendors to work with. So those decisions trickle down, but it is important and can feel like stressful. And from the beginning, it sounds like you and Josh knew financially you were not going to hire a wedding planner to help with all these things, right?
Yeah. It was like, from day one, we knew like, okay, because a lot of my friends, like they, like, and family members, they've dreamt of their wedding their whole life. And so they get married like within 3 months of getting engaged. And like, it's very like relaxed backyard kind of wedding, like American Legion reception hall, like very just casual and big party, just don't really care about the details and stuff. And Josh and I both knew that we wanted a more intimate wedding, a wedding that really spoke to us of just that more like classy, like elevated event kind of deal that a wedding can be. But then also knew it was like, we don't have the funds and we can't rely on, you know, mom and dad to like help with that. And so, okay, it's definitely got to be a year. And then we were just looking at, okay, what available dates does this venue have? And then as well of just, oh, like we started dating on the 22nd. We got engaged on the 22nd. When in a certain month, like in early, would there be a 22nd date? And it happened to be May 22nd. And so that's when we picked that date. And got married.
So was your wedding, I mean, how many guests did you have?
So we had originally planned for 170, 200, somewhere around there. But then with COVID restrictions, we ended up with about 100, 105 or so. And that ended up being like, these are all the people that we legitimately want and need. So many people that I had just seen, as far as like friends and stuff, they had just had like a 20 person wedding. And then had no means to have another get together, because it's like you spend all this time planning your wedding, and it's like to think like, oh, I have to keep planning. I can't like start moving on with my life of doing other things. And that's just kind of how Josh and I thought about it, was like, we can't not like continue to carry this on our backs because it's so heavy.
Right. You're in limbo. So many couples out there were in limbo, and maybe a few now still, but yeah, it's like you just make the decision to move on. And I feel like that's kind of what happened with so many couples. Like, okay, this is the date. We're going to just keep moving forward. And if we end up, I think we even talked to you about this at one point, like months ago or on an Instagram live or something, like if you have to, you know, reschedule or whatever it is you decide to do, then you make that decision when you have to make the decision. Right. But And the thing is too, is like most guests, most family members, everybody who knew somebody that was getting married during the pandemic knew that it was going to be this wave that everybody was going to ride, but everybody was aware that it could be like, all right, we got to cancel, or we got to push it to next year. You know, everybody was in the same boat. And so you just super lucked out because it worked out for you. So did you reschedule it though from originally from another date? I didn't catch that.
This was totally our original date.
Okay.
So it
okay.
was like straight luck. Like
you were very lucky.
All the gods were like upon us, like on this date, because where we had scheduled so far in advance that it was like we just kind of felt the wave of like, do we postpone it? Do we not, you know? And yeah, we just chose to keep it where it was because despite all the, and it was funny because like, I feel like so many people are like, oh, you'll get understanding from people. People will be okay. But we had a lot of family members that were just, you know, what do you mean my kids like, can't come? Like, what do you mean all your cousins can't come? Like,
well, that's what I was going to ask you, because it sounds like your wedding was different from what the norm is in your community, or, you know, with your family, right? Like you wanted something mm-hmm. more elevated and a different experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. We couldn't invite everyone and we were totally fine with that. But quote unquote, like some of our parents were like, okay, if you can't invite them all, why would you invite any? Like, why wouldn't you just postpone? And I'm like, okay, are you going to plan this wedding for me? Cause you didn't want to plan this wedding. And so I'm planning this wedding, you know? And so it was like, that kind of made them sit back and realize like, oh, like that's their wedding. This isn't mine. And I feel like that's something, just everyone kind of battles like with their parents.
Yeah.
To some degree is just like stepping outside of their circle and realizing like, okay, you did what you wanted to do for your wedding. Now it's my time to do what I want to do for my wedding. Cause I'm very much a different person than you are from me.
It's hard for people, some people to imagine or to envision what you're talking about when what you're talking about is so different than what they're used to. But that's not what we do in this family. That's not how we do it. We always have kids at weddings, or we've never done anything like that. And it's like, well, you know, now you can. And I also think that sometimes families can be more expressive with their opinions when it's not productive. At the end of the day, it's your wedding. We want everybody planning their weddings to remember that, and that the point is the marriage. This is just a celebration. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings along the way, but you have to make decisions, especially COVID couples that are tough and they're personal. And if listening to the podcast felt empowering at all, like we feel really grateful that we're able to provide that because you're one of many people that's, you know, planning your weddings in a situation that's just like, I don't know what to do with these opinions coming at me.
Mm-hmm. It was very much like a feeling of like just coming to a friend and like my like mom or like, you know, just my sister like said this thing and you're just kind of like on your knees, like you just feel so alone and just like upset. And it's like, how do I respond? And you are just like those people that just kind of like pick you up, like kind of dust you off, and then just like, okay, this is what you like go back to them and say, and like, you know, like we can talk to them if they just don't have anything nice to say, you know. And that's just, it was just like that comfort and the just truly like, yeah, like you said, the empowerment that you need to like go back kind of into the world of planning your wedding to say like, okay, this is what you said, but this is what I'm going to do because this is my wedding and this is just not going to work for us.
Mm-hmm. And we're doing the best we can.
Yeah. And I'm so happy that we were able to help in some way. I was looking at your email and I think there's actually a really great tip in here, Carly, because you and Josh were on a budget and you could not afford a wedding planner. It wasn't something that was feasible for you. Which I know there are thousands of people listening right now that are in the same boat. One thing that you mentioned you did was that you consulted a couple of times with the wedding planner. Is that right?
Yes.
Talk about that.
So she was just a local gal because there is like a local venue here. And she basically like every... I don't know, just whenever I felt like I just need to get all these things off my chest and like figure out like what I want to do, like made things more concrete of, okay, I'm thinking blush linens with greenery on the table. What can that look like as far as then leading me to the vendors, to things to consider? Do you want to do full length or do you want to do like, you know, just in your lap? And just kind of led me along the way because, as I'm doing my own planning, it's like, I didn't necessarily have that person to go to, because my parents, it was like, yeah, I just went to Walmart. And I'm like, no, I need like an actual like vendor, just like someone that has like all the jacks of all trades.
Yeah.
And so she, also just being a wedding designer and stuff, like I did like just consulting kind of throughout my over a year, of planning. And she like was just kind of like the saving grace of, okay, this is like the space that I'm working with. Cause I took her actually to the venue and we kind of like walked through it one day. And then another day it was looking at different decor options that like the venue had a lot, but then also I needed to bring in a lot.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it was so smart of you to consult with somebody along the way, like knowing like, okay, I can't hire a full-on wedding planner, but there is value in that. And just like asking those pinpointed questions that I need help with. Mm-hmm. And obviously the other thing you did was you bought the big wedding planning masterclass, but you mm-hmm. did. And what I think is lovely, cause I feel like Carly, you're one of the first people that asked us, like, I'm almost done with the planning. I'm in the last phase of it. Is this going to be good for me? And I was like, I really do think it is going to be good for you. And you know,
yeah, because we were thinking about selling it in parts at first. And so you checked in with us about that, but we're selling it as one big 3-chapter package. And it was like, is there enough value in the last chapter? Essentially, we yeah. think there was.
There definitely was. And I think like, even as I was at the end, towards the end of my like planning process, it was still like there were still just kind of nuggets like in the earlier chapters. I didn't go through all of it, obviously, but just the certain nuggets that I did kind of skim through and look through, it was like, yeah, this is definitely worth it. Like the cost that I paid for just like the last chapter, it's like, I'm sold. Like it's, I mean, it was like straight gold. Like
you said in your email, you were able to give, because of that last part of the masterclass, it's, you said the masterclass put on paper what all of my vendors and all of the wedding VIPs, so like family members and helpers and wedding party, needed to know. So every single vendor told me that they loved how organized I was. And usually when a bride doesn't have a planner, the vendors said that they do twice as much work, which is very true.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, double checking things that ordinarily, if there's a planner, they would be told what to do instead of like, should we do this? Can we go in here? Is this exit okay? All those things. So for us, like, but we call it a puzzle sometimes, like all the puzzle pieces are everywhere and then you have to put it together. And that's how you want to present it to vendors, put together the timeline and the floor plans and the to-do lists, I think, are the main part of that last planning.
Just a shameless plug here. We want to offer you a discount to use the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass. That is what Carly used in planning her wedding. By using the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, we are planning your wedding with you. You have two wedding planners and all of our tools to plan your wedding, whether you're at the beginning stages, middle stages, or end. So we want to give you a discount. Now, this discount is good for 1 week only. It's good until July 28th, 2021. It expires at 11:59 p.m. So go to thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com and use code 260 for $100 off. It's a great savings for an amazing digital course that's going to help you so very much. Again, use code 260. And by the way, that code is strictly because this is episode number 260 that you're listening to. See how I did that? Isn't that good? Okay, code 260 for $100 off the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass.com. And now let's get back to Carly.
So did you feel like timeline wise, you were able to plug in your own, you know, we put as much in as we could, but then we know people are going to like delete. Like, what was your process with the timeline so that when you gave it to your vendors, they gave you the feedback of like, wow, this is great.
Yeah. I think it was, the first step I did was, like go through like all of your tips and things, but then also listening to your 3-day, your 3-part episodes that you have on timelines.
Yeah. The wedding day timeline. Paired
like perfectly with it, that it just gave like even more like sprinkles on top with the masterclass. And so I'd say like the process was like, okay, that's totally irrelevant to me. That's totally irrelevant to me. Basically taking out all the things that just weren't like totally relevant to my wedding, but then adding in like at the very bottom of, okay, this is what's specific to my wedding that in just the generics aren't quite there. And then editing those generics to, okay, like my DJ is actually going to come in at this time. And then from there, after getting their feedback, then it was getting even more nitty gritty. And creating like just, yeah, more like the details of in 5 minutes, I will be doing this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Every vendor doesn't need to know every single minute of the day for sure. And there are certain many versions of a wedding day timeline. The most important version is the one that the couple has like committed to. We know all of this is right. So there's something cathartic about like getting it all out on paper and then hitting that sort button where it all like organizes by time. And then hopefully, and the goal is with a great wedding day timeline, that then you can just
like, you're empowered.
Take your hands off.
I mean, I kind of like in listening to you and reading your email, and I'm not like whether just whoever the listener of this episode in particular, like you should know that, and masterclass aside, like having your wedding day timeline figured out, getting that, starting that process at least a month in advance and just really having it shape and mold over the course of the last month of the wedding up until that night before or 2 days before, it is empowering because it does give you kind of like that oof off your shoulders, knowing more or less how the day is going to go, right? And knowing that you've got this figured out and you've given that information to the people that you've hired.
Mm-hmm. And like everyone was like, just so thankful to know like what's going on. Like my friends, my family, they were all just like, oh my gosh, like this is like life saving that I know, like specifically at this time, like I know where to be. Everything was on paper and figured out. And there was kind of that stress, I guess, of what if one thing doesn't work out, but it's like in that moment on the wedding day, you don't even think about it. You just kind of respond and move forward and everything just kind of works itself out.
This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by Manly Band. And we just want you to know that buying a wedding band doesn't have to suck, okay? You don't have to spend countless hours running through jewelry stores figuring out, you know, which is the best band, what is it, you know, what design are you gonna like, or he's gonna like, or she's gonna like. And this is all thanks to Manly Bands.
Yes, it's a godsend that you can do this all from home. Awesome wedding bands, every type of imaginable material, even some from space, meteorites, crazy.
Meteorites, gold, wood, antler, steel, the whole thing. Jose Luis has the baller. Okay. He likes the baller. The ring sizer is incredible because you just order this ring sizer. They send it to you. It's got all the sizes. It's plastic. It's lightweight. You figure out what size is best. You put it on your finger, go about your business, make dinner, you know, wash dishes, type on your computer, see if that feels good.
And once you decide on the band and you know the size, Manly Bands offers free shipping worldwide and a 30-day exchange policy and a free warranty. So everyone's going to love their Manly Band. 100% chance that you're going to love this
band. And they're not only for men. I know that says Manly Bands, but whoever you are, right? Whatever your pronoun is, and whatever size finger you have, really, from small to like really, really big, they've got you. They are giving you a 21% discount. 21% discount. You just
plus a free silicone ring.
Yeah. So you go to manlybands.com/bigwedding. manlybands.com/bigwedding for 21% off.
Manly Bands, the best damn rings, period.
Do you think that you're, again, like your people, do you think this was kind of exposure to something new and having a wedding organized in this way?
I would definitely say so because, like I said before, it was like most weddings were just very casual.
Yeah.
And just very let's cut the cake now. Yeah. Okay, like get the photographer here. Let's cut the cake. Versus it was like just that guidance of like, okay, like I know where I need to be. Cause that was, I remember the big thing with my friend, she got married a couple weeks, what was it? Like 2019, in the fall, she got married and it was very much like, well, I don't know where my mom is. she's somewhere around here and she's supposed to be here, but can someone go find my mom? And she's like not answering her phone. And it was just a lot of that of
chaos.
Like, oh my gosh, where is this person? Versus now it's like everything's accounted for, that it just, yeah, just gave that, like, wow, like, where was this like when I was planning my wedding?
I think maybe, Carly, you could be a local wedding planner there, you know, take the entire master class and you just start, you know, taking on some weddings on the side.
The truth is people like to be like, we're relaxed. It's fine. It'll all work out. Like that kind of like, God, you're so like wound up about this. It'll all be fine. But the real deal is like everyone can relax a little more and have fun when processes and systems and rules, I know we're supposed to be cool all the time, but like when those things are done and drawn out and clear, that allows for the room for like real hands off the wheel, relaxation and fun. Michelle and I both took those like personality tests when we had that person on, gosh, what was her name? Chelsea, right?
Yeah, Chelsea.
And it was like, wow, you guys matched up on everything. And we were like, we can't believe that. We're so different. But it came down to like, we're both people who plan out our, let's say, family vacation, because once those plans are in place, our families will be able to have more fun on the vacation. So our husbands might make fun of us ahead of time. Like, oh my gosh, you have that scheduled at 9. Really? We got to get there at 9 or whatever. But the truth is like, once it's there, there's room for the fun. And people, a lot of people for weddings, they're all used to just the chaos, and family members are used to like chipping in. Oh, we'll get there early and we'll just set the flowers and then somebody will take them at the end of the night. That's how it always works. It's always fine. But that can feel chaotic and stressful. And for a type A person, you want a plan in place so that you can have a good time on your wedding day and know that like there's people that are being paid to or that have agreed to take care of certain things. That's why we were all able to celebrate celebrate the way you wanted to, because you had put the work in ahead of time. And it can be daunting, but it's worth it when you have a really great wedding day and feel like you're getting, you and your partner like kind of did something together.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Carly, I was reading this paragraph about what you and Josh decided. You did a first look, but you also decided that you would be okay to see each other in, you know, regular clothing.
The morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of guys are like this of like, no, like I want to be traditional. No, first look, it's going to be like down at the aisle. And I've like coerced like Josh into like, no, let's do a first look. Cause like, I don't want to like mess up my makeup. Like a lot of time and money has been spent on this makeup, you know, and just like being able to calm myself down, and just get so many photos done out of the way. Like that was just, it made then going to the reception like the easiest thing ever. But yeah, so we moved in, I'd say 2 to 3 months before we got married. And just through the whole dating process, like we've just always done breakfast in the morning on Sundays together. And then going to church. And that's just been like our favorite thing to do together. And he just kind of had this moment, like getting like really close to the wedding of like, what if we like had breakfast together, like the morning of like our wedding. And I was like, and he just kind of gave that like backstory of like, you know, this is like what we've always done. And like, it's just my favorite like time of spending with you, like to start our week off like that. And then we went out to the porch on the venue and gave each other our morning of gifts to kind of look through with each other.
Which were?
So he we both had photo albums in mind. So I did like a boudoir of like, honey, once I have kids, like my body ain't going to look like this anymore.
Ooh, a boudoir.
Yes. And then he gave, he had been saving and like taking like photos of us a lot. And he kind of did like the reasons why I'm marrying you, like little photo album. And I like had to stop kind of throughout it of like, don't cry, don't cry. Because I was like partially through like my makeup when we went out and did that. So it was, I feel like that just put my like nerves away so much. Even like the first look definitely did that. But like that moment right there, I feel like 50 years, like that'll just always just kind of be like a sweet spot in my heart of, we just both came and like shared, like, this is the reason why I'm marrying you today. Cause that Friday we had shared our vows together. We went down at the venue. There was a pond and a deck. And so we went down to the pond and sat on the deck and like read our vows to each other and just kind of had like that. Just another one of those like easing your nerves kind of thing of like, yes, it's just us. Like no one else, like just kind of like, this is like my love, you know. And then we just did like the generic like vows for a ceremony that were like,
oh wow,
I'm not gonna cry.
So you mm-hmm. wrote vows to one another, and instead of saying them at the ceremony, you just did it the two of you beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is great, by the way. I mean, this is brilliant. This is romantic. This is like you guys putting yourselves in the right frame of mind. Like, mm-hmm. I am absolutely like blown away by this. And I think it's a great tip for anybody listening. Like, there is something to seeing each other and really having some intimacy before the big, you know, you want to share everything with your friends and family. You want them to witness your union, and that's a beautiful gesture, but taking that moment for the two of you is that's just wonderful. And there's one more thing I want to tell you. Going back to Josh, seems like he's very thoughtful, and it seems like he's very like he thinks with his heart, it seems to me, but he forgot your breakfast. Don't ever, yeah, ever expect him throughout these 50 years or however many years you're going to be married. Don't get mad at him for forgetting things like that, because that's, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of us like have these expectations of our partner, and you forgot my food. You always forget my food. You're not thinking of me. But it's just like, people are people. We all have our, you know, attributes, and we all have our downfalls. And he clearly adores you and like wants this connection with you and needs it, but he's probably going to forget your food, or he might forget to get you a card on your birthday, or I don't know. And that's just Josh.
Another thing I can tell you to like kind of share who Josh is. So that week that we got engaged, that Monday, he accidentally like sent the picture of my engagement band to me, and then like bawled his eyes out. He was like, no, I'm gonna die, because he accidentally sent it to me. And then that whole week he was like, it's gonna be a while, like was throwing my mind off of like, you know, like
he texted it to the wrong person.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah. See, this is what I'm saying, like, you're just going to laugh at these things over the next, you know, decades that you're together and tell your kids, oh, that's your dad. You know, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Carly, you get like MVP or something for us as far as listening, because the email you put together, you cited like specifically, like, I learned this from this episode and then we did it. Black tie kids have activity stuff at a table. It seemed doable. It worked with what we were going to do. That's what we did. Big hit. And you listed off a lot of those, which really meant a lot to us. But I think the part that struck me the most was when you said that you feel like you were able to have an intentional wedding with a lot of thought put into the guest experience. I think you were referencing part of the Julie Comfort episode about connection. Like, and you mentioned all the ways physically that you guys use the venue. But mm-hmm. I would love for our listeners to hear you in your own words explain like what the feeling of having an intentional wedding felt to you in the planning and then on the day of, like the execution, because it's a great word and I'm glad that we helped you get there, but it also can feel kind of like vague or unattainable for couples that are like, I want that. How do I get that?
Mm-hmm. I think it's, yeah, like looking at like who you are as a person and who you are as a couple. Like I can be like an introverted soul at heart. And for me, like another big thing of being able to have like the different things around the venue was like, if I wanted to get away from the big crowd, I could. If I wanted to have like a fun conversation with someone at the table, I had this conversation menu of, would you like prefer to like fart or burp glitter? Can you tell me why? And just kind of have those laughs, but then also just have like the ability to have like those deep conversations that some people like really desire, but then also, yeah, like the laughs of just like the non-serious conversations that some people are just more inclined to have, and you're still able to just have a conversation with just about anyone that way. Mm-hmm. It gave me like the great calmness and love in my heart of all my guests, like had the ability to do what they wanted to do. And it just things that, because you walk into a wedding and it's like, well, I don't know, like, what can I do if you've never been exposed to wedding planning before? And being able to listen to the podcast and just being thrown at all these like different ideas and stuff. And it's like, I can't do them all, but to some degree, like I can do it. So like the Black Tie Kids episode, like I really took from that of, okay, like let's provide, like you go to a restaurant and you have like the kids menu that has like coloring and different things. And so it's like, okay, let's provide like the parents a little bit of sanity, like while they're eating their dinner, of giving them like a little coloring book along with their food and just different things like that. It just, no guest didn't feel like out of place, I guess. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're walking into a like a wedding that it's like you really only know the couple. I felt like that space, it was like everyone like had something to do. You could have a conversation with someone you didn't know because of all those different avenues.
But you guys had to you provided those. It wasn't like by accident. So I guess that is the definition of intentional, like giving people the tools or resources to feel comfortable and welcome. And also like the timeline kept moving so that nobody was ever like, do we need to go in? Do we stand here? Should we just sit? Do you think we're going to get food now? I think that all adds to that feeling of, you know, kind of a self-propelling machine or whatever on the wedding day, which is what is great to feel like that. It's a safety almost. Like everyone feels just like we're doing the right thing and we're safe in this, you know, little world, and we're going to be told what to do or where to go.
I was just reading again that I think you were with the family right before the wedding and there was drama happening in the house, and you and Josh, you said you walked outside and you actually told each other what you really wanted to say to them. Like you guys almost like went outside and like what Christy was saying before, you guys went outside and had that conversation as if you were talking to them, and you're like, yeah. And then like, you walked back in and were like, all right, let's just be cool. Let's just keep the peace. Like, it's not worth it, right?
Yeah, this is like, we said what we were supposed to say as kind, loving, like, people that are about to be married. You know, people, like, have things they want to say and, like, strong opinions. And it's like, well, this is the way it's always been done. And it's like, okay, like, I'm just going to move on with my life and, you know, just not say what I really want to say right now. Because in the past, I've said that and we've not talked for a week and then come right back. Versus this, it's like, okay, like, I need to still be, like, in joyous, like, thoughts with you right now. So that's what we're going to do.
The other part of your email you touched on, and I'd love for you to expand on, I'm going to just read this little excerpt and have you expand on it. You wrote, like a lot of brides, I guess I'm a bit sad that yes, planning is over, but I find myself so happy that it's done. Wedding planning that last month put a major strain on our relationship as a couple, but then also the drama that happens with parents. Not fun either. You know, we hear so much from listeners about the drama, about the family drama mostly. But we don't, and I know it's there. I know it's there. Whenever there's family, even once you're married, okay, the wedding is just the beginning. There's family drama.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for the couple. And it does put a lot of strain on the couple. Can you expand on that strain a little more?
Yeah. Like it was, because it got to that point where it was like, okay, we get home, both of us get home from work. Okay, what is the 10 things that we like need to knock off the checklist for wedding planning today? You know, and it was just like constantly that. And it really like became like how you ladies say of like, don't let it be every single conversation you have. Because I mean, it would be like, as I'm falling asleep, like, oh my gosh, like, wait, what about this? You know, or it would just be like, I can't believe your mom like is asked that of us or something. And it just became like that was like our whole relationship. And it just, you know, in your anger, you're just like, why are we even getting married? Like, we shouldn't be, you know. And it's like, okay, like any other time, like besides this moment, like, yes, we do want to get married, but it just put so much strain on our relationship. And we hit a point where it was like, okay, like once we get through it, like we're saying like, yeah, May 22nd, best day of our lives. No, May 23rd is the best day of our lives, because that means like, just it's all done. Everything is just remembered as that perfect day and that wonderful celebration that we're married now. And we get to spend the rest of our lives doing other things besides
doing life.
The consumption of wedding planning. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, it hit a point where it was just like, Carly, like, had I known like that it was going to be this bad, like I would have hired, yeah, a wedding planner. We would have made it like in the budget, because this is just a lot on us right now. And that's,
he
like,
said that.
It was just kind of one of those, like, Josh, I was like, I told you.
It happens a lot. You're not the first person mm-hmm. that I've heard that from. I just love what you said, though. If your wedding date is May 22nd, it's actually, that's not the best day of your life. It's May 23rd. And not because it was a horrible wedding, but because you did it, you accomplished it. And now you're starting your first day as a married couple. You know,
and you get to remember it however you want. Like, it gets to be remembered in like the glow of like a dreamy love sequence montage in a movie, because it's done. We've heard that before, but people frame it as like when I was on the beach 2 days later for my honeymoon, that was when I actually felt like a pure sense of bliss. But I think that's even true. I don't know if you guys went on a honeymoon right afterwards, but I think that your wisdom by thinking about it that way was really, I mean, both Michelle and I, when you said that, we were like, uh-huh.
I love it.
Because we talk about the rest of your life all the time and how there's no such thing as the best day ever. Like,
yeah,
truly, not in a trite way, you got to wake up every morning and be like, I choose to be married to you. We have a family. We live here. We're doing this. This is life. And you want to find things in every day that are the best. Like, yeah, you just do. You strive for that. It's not all, like, you don't put all your chips just in one day because it's your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I love
it. We want that to be your best day ever. We want the future.
Right. Well, mm-hmm, it's one of the best days till the rest. I love it. I love it. I have to tell you, I your email meant so much to us. Your participation in the time that, you know, we've known you, and the masterclass again, it's something that was like, we put out into the world and we were hoping for the best. Like, we were hoping people like you would actually like, yes, this is something that helped me. I needed this. And the time that you took to write this email, so detailed and so thoughtful, and just really share with us really such wonderful memories and experiences that you had, it means a lot. So thank you so, so much.
Yeah, thank you. I was kind of like, when you first like, would you want to record with us? I was like, but I'm just me. Like, I'm just a bride. Like, I'm not like anything special. Like, what can I give to aid, like, to this, you know? But it was like, well, if they think I'm special, like, okay.
We do think you're special, but I think for me, Carly, you are represent a lot of listeners. You know, I was talking to this amazing, like, very successful high-end event designer in New York this week, because we're going to have him on the podcast. And he works on these, like, you know, $1 million weddings, like, sky's the limit, like, invent something, spend my money. And I told him, like, you know, the podcast for me, I've been planning weddings, I say this all the time, 18 years, but I was in a bubble, right? I was in this bubble of the Bay Area and San Francisco and Silicon Valley. And I still am. I love my clients. I have beautiful, wonderful clients. But I was always in a bubble of the people that could afford to hire me and that would hire me. And in these almost 5 years that we've been doing the podcast, I have gotten to know and hear of and really understand more so many of the rest of the population that's much bigger than this bubble that I am in with my clients. And I really appreciate that, because I would otherwise not have been exposed. So it's really opened up my eyes. And I know, Christy, you know, we've talked about this, like, it's huge for us. And so we really do. You are special. And we thank you.
A little gold star on me.
Yeah. Any last words of advice to anyone out there right now planning their wedding, Carly?
Just value your sanity more than value your wedding, because it can get very consuming. And to some people, it might just be listening to this podcast. It might just be hiring a wedding planner. But I think if you can visualize like what you need as a person to keep that sanity, so that way, like, come the wedding day and then post, you're totally fine. You're still yourself. You've got it made.
That's great advice.
Very good. Yeah. We shouldn't have to remind ourselves, but we totally do, to place value on your own sanity and like self-care and all that. Like, sometimes that is priceless. You can't put a number on that.
Because I think just with COVID and then just wedding planning in general, I felt like that was just like a constant like questioning of like, okay, like we could do this, but like this will like literally drive us bonkers.
Well, lady, we really appreciate you. You got a good head on your shoulders. You're a good decision maker.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know? Yeah. Thank you so much. And did you send us photos yet? We can't wait to see them and share them. And thank you again. And congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies.
All right.
Bye.
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 The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.